A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
This is our last a Word for Today on chapter 13 of Joshua, and I'm going to read verses 32 and 33, the last two verses of the chapter. It's Sunday, the 26th of July. Verse 32, these are the inheritances that Moses distributed in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho. But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, just as he said to them. Now, in that verse 32, we get there a closure of that section, summarizing these are the inheritances that Moses distributed. And we saw those three types of discipleship: what is clear and courageous, epitomized in the territory of Reuben; what is formal and lifeless, epitomized in the territory of Gad; and what is confused and compromised in the territory of Manasseh. And if the size of the territories is anything to go by, the clear and courageous discipleship is half the size of the formal and dead discipleship of Gad, and only a third or even a quarter of the size of the confused and compromised discipleship epitomized in the half-tribe of Manasseh's territorial inheritance. I think maybe that's drawing too much from the material, but nevertheless, those proportions don't seem unreasonable. Clear and courageous discipleship is pretty rare, isn't it? You don't often meet it which is uncompromising and stands against the corruptions of the world and the blandishments of false teachers. So much discipleship is dead and formal and very confused and quite wrongly inclusive. It's worth seeing how that declension of integrity runs down. I think the writer means us to see that. We start with utopian fulfillment in the territory of Reuben, and then as we go down, it just gets worse, declining with Gad and then degenerating even further with the half-tribe of Manasseh. And of course, it's worth remembering that public opinion of such discipleship will, of course, reverse the value. So what will people say about the confused and compromised discipleship of the half-tribe of Manasseh's inheritance? Well, they'll say things like, oh, this kind and warm-hearted person. You know, they're gentle. They're not bigoted. They're inclusive. You know, they're happy to give everyone a go. That will always be said of that kind of muddled, inconsistent, compromised discipleship, because it will be completely unthreatening. It will accommodate whatever the world wants it to accommodate, because basically it's ignorant, because it's turned its back on the Word of God, because it's untethered to any real reference point. What will the world say to the Gad type of discipleship that is formal and lifeless? Well, I think the world will say things like, well, that's a decent fellow. He believes in, you know, a certain standard, and he doesn't preach to us. You know, he's happy to leave people where they are. He doesn't seek to impose his beliefs on anyone else. Actually, he's quite an ordinary, accommodating person, really, and he's the person that, you know, you feel you can deal with. He's not going to stand on any particular detail, because, of course, the world will see those people as their own kind. They are men and women of the world. And how will the world view the clear and courageous discipleship of Reuben? Well, of course, they'll say things like, well, they're unyielding, inflexible, narrow-minded, judgmental. They are unwilling to make any kind of accommodation. They're just blinkered, impossible to deal with. They really are difficult people, not people that we feel we can have much to do with. But you see, that is the only real discipleship, the clear discipleship of the Reubenite inheritance, the discipleship that immediately leads into conflict with the corruption of the world and with the corruption that underpins such corruptions, which is the corruption of false teaching. in which the churches of our land are drowning. So the clear and courageous model of discipleship will always be the least popular one. And we should take comfort from the words of Jesus, shouldn't we? When others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That kind of unacceptance and persecution is the authenticating sign, always has been, of the true people of God. So take courage. But the question now is, what can A, guide us, and B, empower us in real discipleship? And of course, the answer is the envelope in which this package comes to us. And it is the prequel and sequel of the Levite inheritance. We saw that the Levites are those with whom the Christian is to identify. Christians are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And the Levite inheritance, the spiritual inheritance that arises out of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that transcends the territorial inheritances of those other Israelite tribes, that inheritance is the true inheritance of the Christian believer. Now, what is it that should guide the discipleship? Well, it is the very thing that the inheritance of the Levites come from, which is God himself, the offerings by fire to the Lord God of Israel. It is the cross, it is the gospel that should guide discipleship. And if we are clear on the cross and the gospel, and love the cross and the gospel, and strive to honour it, and share it, and live it in our lives, then we will be brought into immediate conflict with those organisations, particularly senior church authorities, that do not. But that will be the guide to discipleship. And what is the empowerment of such real, such clear discipleship? Well, it is, as verse 33 puts it, the inheritance of the true people of God, pictured in the Levites and true Christian believers today. It is the Lord God of Israel. That is the inheritance, the eternal inheritance that we looked at in that first section of chapter 13, the inheritance that runs from everlasting to everlasting, the inheritance that has the Lord Jesus Christ crucified at the heart of it, that perfect payment for the sins of his people, that perfect, sure salvation. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, there was nothing formal about that, was there? There was nothing compromising in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no lack of clarity in what he believed and taught. There was no confusion in his dealings with other people. He made perfectly clear at all times where he stood and where they stood. And that is the model for our discipleship, isn't it? Indeed, it was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Whoever would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is just a statement of clear and courageous discipleship that is epitomized in the territorial inheritance of Reuben. And that is the discipleship that will build God's church. Why should we respond to those temptations to take refuge in formality or compromise when the inheritance we are getting is the inheritance of God himself, an inheritance tethered in eternity and paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? How could our discipleship be anything other than real and clear? And of course, it's that real and clear discipleship that will build God's church. Heavenly Father, please would you encourage us, please would you empower us through the cross of your dear Son, to be clear and courageous in our discipleship. We pray this for ourselves and for our church and for your church throughout the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.